Today's shiur is Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Nun Ches. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach and Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis. 8 lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara, there was once an episode in Mechuzah. Also Avik Echavim, that a Nachri came, Ayel Echanusa de Yisrael, and he entered into the store of Yisrael, Amalahu, and he asked, the Nachri asked the storekeeper, Islachu Chamlazuni, do you have any wine to sell? Amrloi, and the Yisrael answered, Loi, we don't have any wine. Havyasa Chamra Badavla. And in front of the Yisrael, there was sitting a pail of wine. Shadebe Yade, and the Nachri put his hand into that pail of wine. Shikshikbe, and he shook around his hand, which, as we've learned many times, is considered the way that they used to do nisach for the Avodah Zarah. Amalhu, and the Nachri said to the Jew, Hailav Chamruhu, is this not wine? Shaklas Hai Bereschei. So the Yisrael was so upset because the Nachri, by having placed his hand into the pail and shaked and done shikshik, had made the wine usur, and what he did was shajal adana. He took that pail of wine and he threw it into the big barrel of wine. That means the Yisrael was saying to the Nachri, I'm not going to allow you to have any of this wine. Says the Gemara, Shayer Rava lezuni lev d'kachavim. Rava allowed them to sell this wine to Nachrim. He said that even though the Nachri had very clearly touched the wine, and as we've been learning in our shurim, when a Nachri does shikshik a wine, it certainly becomes usur. Here he allowed it because since it was without the kavana, since he felt was that the Nachri had touched this wine, not with the intention of doing any worship to Avodah Zarah. So therefore he held that the wine is only asa b'shtiyah. The wine may not be consumed, but the wine may be, you're allowed to have anah from that wine. You're allowed to sell the wine. Iflagalei, it says the Gemara, Iflagalei Rav Huna b'chinana Rav Huna b'reid Rav Nachman. But Rav Huna b'chinana and Rav Huna b'reid Rav Nachman disagreed with him. And says the Gemara, Nafka Shapuri the Rava Visharu. Rava put when they wanted to make a declaration, they would blow a shofar. So Rava had a shofar blown to declare that this wine can be mutter b'hanam. Although I did see that the Rishonim suggest that even Rava, who was taking this lenient approach, was only as far as the wine in the barrel could be sold, minus the value of the wine that was touched by the Nachri. That means they have to determine how much wine was in that pail, what was the wine worth, and that wine would be asur b'hanah. That's how some Rishonim learn that value. Other Rishonim, however, disagree. And they said that they learned the Gemara, that Rava's opinion was that whenever a Nachri touches wine where it's clear that his kavana was not to do it for Avodah Zarah, then the halacha is that the wine is asa b'shtiya b'muta b'hanah. And that is, of course, most relevant to the wine of Bizman Hazeh, because the wine that we have nowadays, even if a Nachri touched it, wine is not even, the Nachrim and not Avodah Zarah, as we discussed extensively in our previous year, the wine is certainly not used for worshipping Avodah Zarah, and therefore certainly according to those opinions, according to Rava, which we're going to learn actually, Rava retracted from his opinion, the halacha is that the halacha is that the wine is might be muta b'hanah. We discussed previously in yesterday's shir that if a Nachri touches the wine shloi b'kavana, it's not asur b'hanah. So the question is, why do we have in our shir today that Rav Huna Bar Chanina and Rav Huna Bar Rav Nachman hold that it's also. So the Ramban explains that here in our Gemara, it's very, very clear that this Nachri did not have any intention to worship the Avodah Zarah. That, and it's more than that, because that in our Gemara, the Nachri was told, in that Gemara, there was pure Shalayba, again, in that previous Gemara, was clearly that the Nachri touched the wine Shalayba Kavana, as we discussed, where somebody was going up the tree, the palm tree, and he took a lulav, and the lulav touched the wine. There was certainly no Kavana to touch the wine. In our Gemara, it's much more complicated, because our Gemara, the Nachri walks into the store, and he asks the Jew, do you have any wine? And the Jew says, no. So that should have ended the story. The fact that the Nachri went and put his hands into the wine, that is considered much worse. And even though he's just checking for wine, we have to be concerned that he had intention to be menasach the wine. That's the way the Ramban answers. He says, another pshat that the Ram suggests is that in the Gemara yesterday, the Gemara spoke about a case where the Nachri did medida, measured the wine. So it explains the Ran, when the Nachri does medida on the wine, so the Nachri is really doing it for the benefit of the Jew. So since he's doing it for the benefit of the Jew, even though, as we learned, he did touch the wine, so therefore the halach is that the wine is asa b'shtia and muta b'hanam. In this case, what the Nachri did, he did it completely for his own benefit, and that's why the halach is much stricter. The Gemara says, as we just learned, that both of these Amoraim had a shofar blown to declare what their opinion was. So the Rishonim say, that some Rishonim say, that Rava had to be the one to first say that it's mutter. Because had it been the reverse order, where Rav Huna and Rav Huna Bar Chanina and Rav Huna Bar Rav Nachman said that it was usser, once there's a rule, Chochem she'asur, ein chavayi rishayu lahatir. If one Rav declared something is usser, the next one cannot say it is mutter. And therefore, we had to have Rav first say it's mutter, because if they would have first said it's usser, Rav could not argue. But then, there are those that suggest that even if they would have said usser first, Rav would have been allowed to be lenient. And the reason Rava would have been allowed to be lenient is because only when there's a psak of a Rav, l'isser, that was well accepted and well publicized, then there's a rule of Chacham Sha'asr, Echavei Rishoy Lahatar. But in our case, where it wasn't yet so publicized, l'isser, it was just where we were having the machlaikas, there may be room for leniency. So says the Gemara, Ikler Rav Huna Bereid Rav Nachman L'Mechuzah. So Rav Huna Bereid Rav Nachman came to the city of Mechuza. Amalei Rav Rav Yaakov Shammai. Rav said to his assistant, Rav Yaakov, Troy Gali, close the door to lay Esi Inchi the Nitrit. I don't want anybody to come bother me. Whom he really meant was Rav Huna. He didn't want Rav Huna to come in to bother him because he didn't want to have to answer questions that Rav Huna would have on the psak that we just learned. Ola Gabei. So when Rav Huna came to his house, Amalei Kagav Demai, and he asked him the exact question that we're discussing, if the Nachri stuck his hand into the pail of wine, what would be the status of the wine? And Rava said, Amalei, Rava told Rav Huna that the wine is Osir Afilu Bahano. This is the way Rashi learns the Gemara. Tosfos has a very hard time accepting Rashi's pshat, because they find it difficult to understand. He finds it difficult to understand that just because Rava and Rav Huna were having a disagreement, Rava should refuse to have a conversation. It's so not the way of Shas. It's so not the way of Talmid Chachamim to refuse to discuss a discussion. And so that's why the Rosh Hash said that a whole different understanding of Rashi. The Rosh Hash explained that what Rashi meant to say was that Rava wanted to learn privately. He didn't want to be disturbed. And that's why he said, I don't want anybody to come in because I want to learn undisturbed. But when Rav Huna came, so Rav's Shammai, Rav Yaakov thought that as much as Rav doesn't want to be disturbed, certainly to have a guest like Rav Huna, he would let him open the door. V'amada Amar. And when he opened the door and he began this discussion, Rav said that indeed in such a case, I would hold that the wine is Asubana. So Rav Huna asks him, V'amada Amar, aren't you the one that says Sheikh Sheikh, if the Nachri touches the wine, you just finished teaching us that the wine is not asur b'hana. Said Rava, when did I say that? What I meant to say was that they have benefit from the rest of the wine in the barrel besides the value of that wine. The may the uchamra, mi'amri, that I say that you can have benefit from that wine, I certainly never meant to have benefit from that wine. Says the Gemara, the Gemara now, as we said a little earlier, Rava actually retracted from his position. And the Gemara now tells us why and where Rava retracted from his position. I'm Rava. So Rava says, Kiasil Pampadisa. Rava says, I had this opinion, but when I came to the city of Pampadisa, Akva Nachmeni Mishmatzim Masnisen, Abaya was able to prove from both a Meroyim and from a Brisa, also that my Psak is wrong and that the wine is really awesome. Why was Abaya called Nachmeni? Because Rabbi Bar Nachmeni, Abaya was a Yosem. He didn't have parents. And his Rebbe raised him. His Rebbe was Rabbi Bar Nachmeni. And to show that he now, so to speak, was adopted by that family, that's why he had the name Nachmeni. That's one pshat that Rashi suggests in Masechta Gittin. The Aruch says in the name of Gaonim that his real name was Nachmeni, and he was a nephew of Rabbi Ben Nachmeni, and he was also a Talmud of Rabbi Ben Nachmeni. And since Abaya's name was the same name as Rabbi Ben Nachmeni's father, obviously, Rabbi Ben Nachmeni means that Rabbi was the son of Nachmeni. So Rabbi Ben Nachmeni, his Rebbe, did not want to call Abaya with his real name Nachmeni because that was also the name of his father. And that's why his name, he used to call him Abaya, which many Farshim explain that the reason he was called Abaya is because the Abaya stands for Shebecha Yerucham Yosam. And as we just said, Abaya was a Yosam, so that's why he was called Abaya Shebecha Yerucham Yosam. And Abaya was telling Rava that I could disprove your psak based on a shmatzim, based on what an episode that happened with Amaroim. Because says the Gemara, who abded the havim in Adab, there was once an episode in Adab when a Nachri put his hands into the wine of Yisrael, clearly not for the sake of Nisach, to do Nisach, from Shmuel. And Shmuel says that there was a similar story in Tveria, and that Vasa Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan said that the wine cannot be consumed. So we see that in those situations, that when the Nachri does it, Shloi Bekavana, the Halach is also. The Gemara is very ambiguous in telling us exactly what happened. But Rashi says that what happened was the exact same apsak that we just, the exact same story that we started our shiur with happened over there. There are other Rishayim, and it seems that they held that all the wine was asur. But there are those that suggest that what they were trying to say to Rava was only the wine that was actually touched was asur. And as we're learning in our shiur now, according to Rava, that wine, even if it's poured back into the barrel, the halach will be that all the wine in the barrel will be mutter besides the value of that wine. Vamrilei, and he says, Vamrilei, and I said to him, the fisherim v'nei Torah. The reason that Rabbi Yochanan was machmer in these two situations, because the people in those cities were not B'nai Torah. And if they're going to see that we're lenient in this type of situation, they may come to be lenient in other situations. Amalie, so he said to me, okay, even if I'll accept what you're saying, that these are people who are not B'nai Torah, Tveria, Nador, ain't B'nai Torah, you're saying that people of Tveria and Nador are not B'nai Torah, to Mechuza, the city that you had your discussion, your issue, was a Mechuza. Are the people of Mechuza any more B'nai Torah? So even if you'll say that it was just a special Gzeira, because they're not B'nai Torah, it should have been treated the same way, and you should have treated it the same way, because the people of your city are not B'nai Torah either. And then Abaye asked him a question from a Masnisa, from a Braisa. The Braisa says, Agadamim. Agadamim are people who are appointed to measure the wine, to make sure that the wine is proper. I saw a number of explanations. What were they checking for? We will learn that wine was diluted. Obviously, they would check that the wine was properly diluted without too much water. So according to this shot, it was the Agdumim who were the quality control between the seller and the buyer to make sure that the wine was the proper quality. Others say, the Rashbam seems to learn, that they were in charge of making sure that the measurements were right, whatever amount of wine was contracted was the amount of wine that was received. Another pshat, that the Ravid and the Rimelunel say that they were in charge on the pricing, that the pricing was done fairly. Another pshat that the Rimelunel suggests is that they were in charge of grading the wine, if it's more what quality wine it was. So says the Gemara Dagdumim, the people who are in charge of these, whatever inspection, Ivkechavim, that was a Nochri, Shekadak B'menekes, he made a hole in the lid, in the cover of the wine barrel, the Hela, and then he put a straw into that hole, the Hela, and like that, he wine came out of the barrel that he could test, or he took wine from a cup, he put some wine in a cup from that barrel, and then after tasting it, he threw it back into the barrel. So that means that wine that he came in contact with the straw or the cup, went back into the barrel. It says the Gemara Zari Maisa, there was such a situation, the Sruma, and the Chum said that the wine is Osir. My love, doesn't that mean that the wine was Osir even by no? Rava said, Loi, there was only Osir B'shtia, and Rava, as we've been learning from the beginning of the Shir, agrees that this wine is Osir B'shtia. It was Osir B'shtia, but not by no. So Abaye counted to him, Yehachi, if you are correct, said Abaye to Rava Lisni, then what should have been, when this episode is recorded, it should have said Yimacher, Kiktani Sefer, because in that Sefer of that Braisa, the Braisa speaks about a Chorim. A Chorim is an individual who is not 100% stable, and what he does is certainly not something intentional, because he doesn't really have intentional intelligence. If he put his hand into the wine, under the misimpression that this barrel is full of oil, and then it turned out to be wine, in that situation, Chazal did not want to treat that wine so strictly, and they said, you can't drink the wine, but the halacha is yimacher, should be sold. So we see from here, says the Gemara, that when we mean to say that it's mutter b'hanah, only osur b'shtiyah, the Braisa knows how to use the word yimacher. The fact that in the previous case, the Braisa said osur, it means that it's completely osur. And because of this, indeed, says the Gemara, t'yufta d'rava, t'yufta, the opinion of Rava that we began our shir with, that Rava said that the wine is osur b'shtiyah, mutter b'hanah, was completely refuted. And that the halacha is that the wine is even also b'shtia. But as we said in our previous year, that the Shach says that since the Nochrim b'zman hazeh are not Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and we also have coupled with the fact that they don't do Nesach, coupled with the fact that this was done without Kavona, so he wants to suggest that maybe there's room to be lenient and allow that wine to even be consumed. But then he ends that this leniency should not be publicized because we may have people who are not familiar with the halacha and begin to be completely mako with the, do not be completely mako with the halachas of Stam Yenam. The Rosh says that this halacha that we just learned, where the person stuck his hand in thinking that it was oil and discovered that it was wine, that's why we could be lenient. Because when he put his hands in, it was with the assumption that what was in there was oil. However, if he put his hand in with the assumption that knowing that it was wine, then under all circumstances, we have to be machmer. That it's considered full-fledged Nesach wine. The Ravid disagrees with his Rosh, and the Ravid says that if the person put his hand into the barrel, and as soon as he put his hand into the barrel, apparently the Nochrim were well familiar what happens to wine when he puts his hands into it. And therefore, since under those circumstances he put it in and immediately withdrew his hand, there's room for leniency. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan ben Azai, Rabbi Yosef ben Aroi, have Yosef kashasi chamra, these two Amoraim were drinking wine. Also, who gavra, a person came, Varmalei Toshkinen, he said, and they told him, serve us this wine. The boss of the Ramal Kasa, after this person poured the wine into their cups, Igloi Milsa David Kachavimhu, they recognized that this person is, they recognized that this person was a Nachri. Chad said, so now the wine was poured by a Nachri, it's also filled by Noah. The Chad Shari, and one of the other, and the other Myra held that it was Mutter Afilu Bishtiya. It was even Mutter Bishtiya. Arav Shuman Levi, Manda Asa Shapa Asar, the one that said that the wine is completely Asar, has very good reasoning for, and very can be, that sack can be supported. Manda Shapa Shari, and the one that said the wine is Mutter, also Shari, can be well understood. Manda Asar, the one that said that the wine is Asar, his thinking was that it's impossible to believe that great rabbonim like this just drink beer. And therefore, he certainly assumed and thought that drinking wine. And when he poured wine, we always have to be concerned that when a nachri pours wine, v'nasre becomes yayin nesach. Umad shari, and the one that said that the wine is mutter, Shapishari, also had a reason to be lenient. Meima Omer, because he says that the Nachri is certainly thinking to himself. Salkadatak Rabbanika Hamri Kushasu, they would drink wine. And if they're drinking wine, they would ask me, a Nachri, Ramalul Di Toshkinen, they would request that I should pour wine. As I said, the Nachrim knew that they're not allowed to touch wine. So he found it impossible to believe that Rabbanim would ask him to pour wine. Ella, Vadi Shikra de Koshase. He assumed the reason they felt comfortable in asking me to pour the wine, because it's not wine, because it's beer. And therefore, since it was beer, he never had any Machshava, Vloy Nasre, he never had any intention to make into Yayin Nesach. Says the Gemara, Vakachazi. But he saw the Nachri as he was pouring, saw what he was pouring. So how can we say that he thought it was beer? He saw what he was doing. Says the Gemara, it was Belaila. What happened by night. So, of course, the Mefarshim asked the question, how did the Rabbonim make this mistake? They obviously made this mistake because it was night and they couldn't see that the person was a Nachri. And that's why when the Gemara says now Belaila, it makes a lot of sense. But says the Gemara Kamarchle, he could tell from the smell if it's wine or beer. Says the Gemara Bechadata, it was new wine. When does wine get a good aroma? When it's older. This was new wine, it didn't have that aroma. Says the Gemara V'kanaga be'menatla, but then when he took it out with the keli from the barrel, he would have noticed that it's wine. Says the Gemara, and shouldn't that be considered a shleibe kavana? And even if we'll say that that wine is mut b'hano, everybody agrees that wine that was touched by a nachri shleibe kavana, we've been learning, is certainly also b'shtiyah. Says the Gemara, tzar richa, the case is the ka'arik marika, that he was pouring it directly from the barrel into their cups, and he never touched the wine. And therefore, it's not just touching wine, shalom kavana, it's much more. It's a situation of koicha shalom kavana. It was something that happened because of what he touched, but with shalom kavana. And the Gemara is saying that when that happens, shalom kavana, when it's not maga, but it's koicha shalom kavana, that's where this opinion held, that kol, whenever you have a situation of koicha shalom kavana, given all of these considerations, then the halach is, that opinion held, that it's mutter even to be consumed, and that's why they were lenient. And this question, of course, comes up if somebody were to visit a restaurant and the waiter pours the wine for Yisrael, and he does it and it's not mevushel wine. The question will be, would that wine be mutter to be consumed or not? There's room for leniency. The way the Paiskim suggests that what should be done in this case is that we should never allow it to happen l'chatchila, but there may be leniency that if the Nachri did it, and he didn't, and he didn't have kavana to do any nisuch, obviously, and he did not actually touch the wine, he only touched the bottle, but the Evid, the Shevet Alevi, is lenient. The wine of a Yisrael that the Nachri put into it water, as we learned earlier, that is the way they diluted the wine. What is the halacha of that wine? Mahu. Amalei ve'eim mazgai. Why do you use the word shemazgai? Why don't you use the word mazgai? Amalei, to which you responded, anokir ksiv came in. I'm using the word that it says in the in Torah, in Nach. The pasuk in Mishlei says, tavcha tivcha mazgai yayin. Amalei, Loshen Torah la'atzmai, Loshen Chom la'atzmai. He says, yes, that's the word that's used in the pasuk, but we, when we speak amongst ourselves, we use the word that's part of our vocabulary. Mai. So they asked him, what is the halacha? Amalei asur. Even though that we have a reason to be lenient, because he didn't actually touch the wine. It's as we said a moment ago, koicha shalom kavana. But there's a new consideration, and that's the consideration of Lech Lech Amin Lezera. We tell a Nazir that who's not allowed to drink wine or eat any grape products, we tell him Schor Schor, go around the wine field, or the Kamachal Sikra, don't get close to the wine, don't get close to grape. And here too, since we're so concerned about wine, so even though the Nachri touch the wine, koicha shaloi bekavana, we have to be machmer. But the Rishonim say, most Rishonim say, that even he who was being machmer was only being machmer b'shtia, but he would be mekel b'hano. The Rav Yirmiyah, says the Gemara, ikla l'safsa. Rav Yirmiyah once came to the city Safsa, and he saw that the Minig HaMakom over there was that the Nochrim would pour wine. Vishti Yisra Minei, and then the Yisraelim, the Jews, would drink that wine. Amalahu says, so he told them, this is something that should stop. Because as we just learned, Lech Lech Amrina Nazira, Scha Scha Lekarma Lesikra. Don't come close to the vineyard. It Menami, Amrav Yochanan, Amrav Asi, Amrav Yochanan, Yain Shemazgo of the Kachavim, if wine was poured by a Nachri, Osir, Mishem Lech Lech Amrinin, Scha Scha, Amrinin, Nazira, Scha Scha, Lekarma Lesikrav, we are very machmer in the halacha of Stam Yenim. And there's a question that the Paiskim discuss, what's going to be the halacha if a Nachri, knowing as we've been learning these halachas, knows that by touching the wine, he makes the wine usher, and he deliberately touched the wine. What would be the halacha? So it seems that's a machlokes rishonim, and many rishonim are of the opinion that in that case, the wine would only be usher b'shtia, but not usher b'hanom. The Gemara here introduced the concept of lech nech v'zira scha scha l'kam l'choy sikrav. The Pasuk says, in Shoiftim, v'yerit shimshim v'ovi v'imoy tim nasoy, v'yavai ad kamnei tim nasoy, v'inei kfir arayi shoig l'krosoy. The Pasuk says that traveling to tim nasoy, they come to the vineyards around Timna, and there's lions that are roaring. But Tetzlach of Ruach Hashem, and there's a Ruach Hashem that penetrates Shimshin, Vishiseyu Kishisagi, and he ripped the lion into pieces. And then the Pasuk says, V'lohigad lov v'l'imay ashashasup, and didn't tell his parents what he did. And the Gra asks a question. He says, the Pasuk begins that Shimshin was traveling together with his parents. So if they were traveling together, how did they not see what he did? So he explains that we know that Shimshon was a Nazir. And they came, as the Pasuk reports, to Kerem, to a vineyard. In our Gemara, we just learned that when somebody's now out to drink wine, he has to distance himself from the vineyard. So the shorter route was by through to Timnas, to Timnasa, was by walking through the vineyard. But Shimshon could not walk through the vineyard because Lech Lech Amrinan Nazir Scha L'Kam Lech Sikrif. So he separated himself from his parents. His parents walked through the vineyard and he walked outside of the vineyard, and that's where he met the lions. And that's why he didn't tell his parents, never became aware what happened, because at that point they had separated himself. The Pnei Menachem says that we know that when a match of a chosan and kala happen, it's called inveya gefen, vinveya gefen. Why is it specifically called when a chosan and kala get married, inveya gefen, vinveya gefen? He says, as a couple is beginning a family, what we tell them is that the home that you are now building is going to be a kerem. It's going to be a place of a vineyard. And as we're learning in our Gemara, that the halacha is that they should build their home, and they should build borders, they should build walls around their homes where no outside improper influences should be able to penetrate. The Karmeloi Sikrif, and we tell the Chasan Kala, that you're building your own kerem, you're building your own vineyard that should be protected from any outside improper influences.